Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
I just got a report that Upper Moreland Township, Montgomery County School Board, last night voted to open schools only by remote in the beginning. Here's what I've noticed. Most of these school districts engage in this. The new dodge is this, and you know it's a dodge. First 30 days, we're going to operate remotely. Notice what they put in there, only the first 30 days. And then we'll somehow or another magically go back to hybrid or 5 days or something like that. The person that sent me this said there wasn't a choice. 64% of parents wanted to return to school in person. 70% of the teachers said they would go back in person. And yet, we go this way, a full remote. Philadelphia, William Height, even though we're trying to reach out to school board members, they voted yesterday to be full remote, even though they know that's a disaster. Even though they know they can't do it. It's a fraud. It's a fake. It will not happen in any functional way. We all know that. We can find very few school districts other than those that are independent. Now, we do have one of those. Thank you, Dan. Nice job. It was a 7-1 vote, but I noticed at Philly.com today, Dan, that two or three other people on the board had vast reservations about this. And yet they still chose to vote not to reopen Philadelphia public schools. Our guest did. She voted against this full remote program, and she's a pediatrician. Dr. Maria McCoughlin is with us here on Talk Radio 1210. Dr. Maria, welcome. Thanks for taking time out to join us.
Thank you. And to McColgan, I know that's
McColgan.
A tough one to pronounce.
Yeah, thanks. No, yep. It's my fault. Thank you, Dr. McColgan. And tell me, you're a pediatrician.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yes, I'm a child abuse pediatrician.
You voted against this. It seemed to be several of your colleagues also were against it, and based upon the paper, and yet they still went along with it. What was your biggest reason for wanting to? Do you want the hybrid or 5 days in person?
Well, two things. One, my colleagues, I understand where my colleagues are coming from. We had to vote on something. We need a plan for the first day of school, which is rapidly approaching. And so if we have a robust virtual plan, that is was a reasonable decision on my colleagues' part. I think at this point, I would be most interested in a hybrid plan where the children are grouped either to go 1 week at a time, alternating groups, and the other time on virtual, or Monday, Tuesday is one group, Wednesday is a cleaning day in time for, you know, to see if any teachers or staff or students develop symptoms, and then the other group back in schools on Thursday and Friday.
All right. I, as an educator, would not be in favor of that. I think the hybrid and other educators agree, but I think there's a reasonable debate there. I wanted to take you back, though, to, as an educator in this and looking at this and the people I talk with, there will not be any robust program. I think it's almost impossible, given the situations in big city school districts. It didn't happen during the lockdown. I don't know that you or William Height could do anything different. And I just think it seems like there's just pressure there of teachers and others who don't want to reopen.
So there's a bunch of things there. So during the lockdown, of course, that happened so suddenly, no one was prepared to make that quick pivot to completely online education. And I'm incredibly impressed with Dr. Height and everyone else at the Philadelphia School District for their efforts in first assuring that children had their meals delivered, making sure that we tried to make sure other needs were met, getting Chromebooks for each and every student. That was a huge undertaking, and they did that relatively quickly. And while teachers did their best effort at online education, most of our educators were trained to be in-person teachers. Mm-hmm. Teachers. And this was incredibly difficult for our teachers, and I give our teachers a lot of credit. Some of the teachers were on top of it immediately. I can't imagine how overwhelming a task that must have been for teachers. But the bottom line is that the majority of our students really need that in-person contact to connect with a teacher, to have that in-person education to keep them on task. And then my hope with, while I agree, a hybrid plan is not ideal, but I would take a couple days in front of the teacher rather than none. Yes. I, too, was an educator. I don't know if you're aware of that. I taught in Philadelphia school district.
Oh, I did not know that. I found it to be a miracle that you're on the school board, and I don't want to be cynical because I commend you for doing it. But here's the thing, too, that came up, and I've asked William Height about this, and I know they try. The bureaucracy here in the turnaround, to say that some schools just don't have soap and water and all the rest of it, the budget is, I think, substantial. There's a bureaucracy there that is not responsive. It must be very difficult. How would we not have soap or Purell or whatever we're using in schools is one of the objections. I get the ancient buildings and ventilation. I concede that's a big problem. But there are budget resources here in an epidemic to do that in schools, right?
Well, you know, school buildings, as you mentioned, have long been neglected, and we all need to be advocating at the local, state, and federal level to make sure that this is addressed. It's inexcusable that there are still classrooms that have, you know, crumbling walls and asbestos, et cetera. And again, Dr. Height and the district, we've been doing everything we can to try to remedy that as the budget has been increased. But remember, it's only been a couple years that we've seen these increases in the budget, and it's going to take some time to remedy those issues, but that is a top priority for us. As far as classrooms not having soap and Purell and things of that nature, of course it's inexcusable for a classroom, a bathroom, not to have soap, and that is one of the things that the school board is going to be asking the district to look at really closely and make sure there's accountability. Where are those items? Why are they not where they're supposed to be? Because we agree that that is inexcusable, and that is something we're looking at very closely, and we plan to monitor closely as the year progresses.
Well, thank you very much. I would ask you, why would you not vote in solidarity then with your colleagues? I mean, I'm glad you voted against this to show there was some, you know, why not do that since in the totality of things? What were you trying to do by your vote? That's what I'm asking.
I'm heartbroken for our students, literally heartbroken. I've spoken to doctors all over the country, the American Academy of Pediatrics, the New England Journal of Medication, and I understand, although I didn't hear it myself, I understand that Dr. Fauci is calling for children to go back to school. And while I understand the fears of COVID, and this is a very significant disease, there are bigger concerns for our children with them being out of school. And we need to look at this holistically and not just look at it from the standpoint of the risks of people getting coronavirus. There are other negative effects of children being out of school.
Sure.
The fear that children are being taught is creating more anxiety. Children and youth, and particularly vulnerable children, are at risk for suicide, depression, child abuse. Children get their service, many of their services. We fought for years for children to get many of their services in schools. And if children are out of school another 2.5 months, which is a total of 7 months at a minimum that they will be out of school, that's that many months of services. We have no idea what the long-term impact of this is. And as a child abuse pediatrician, I'm very frightened that we've seen a significant drop in referrals. And I am hoping that is because mothers are home with children and they're less stressed, and that it's been a protective factor. But I'm also fearful for those children. And I've already personally seen some of these children who have been chronically neglected, abused, sexually abused, physically abused, but that no one is seeing it because we don't
right.
have eyes on these children.
Exactly.
So we need them to get back into school. We know that that is the best place for children to learn. And I heard from a teacher at Northeast High School last night who said that summer school over the over this summer virtually has been basically a disaster. I'm paraphrasing. He didn't say that. And that he was unable to connect with his students, and that he started out, if let's say it was 73 students in the beginning of the summer, he ended up with 23 at the end. And so it was, you know, I need to look into that more, but I'm concerned that internet, fully virtual internet, is not going to reach our children. And again, the risks of keeping kids out of school at this point, I think, far outweigh the risks of sending them back to school. And so that's why I voted the way that I did.
Well, I'm very glad that you're on the school board. And I think the science indicates exactly what we're talking about, despite the challenges in the schools. So please keep us in mind when Dan calls again. We'd love to have you back.
Wonderful. And I want to, you know, speak to all of the community. We could all make a difference. We have 4 weeks to get the coronavirus numbers down. Stay home. Postpone your vacations. Order food, you know, support the restaurants by ordering takeout food. We need to drive these numbers down and get our priorities straight. Our priority should be our children and
I have to say, with all due respect, I have to challenge that, though. Let me break some of that down. I can't support what you just said there, though. I shouldn't go on vacation during this period of time.
Not if you're going on a beach and going to large gatherings and not wearing a mask. We need to, I'm not saying you shouldn't go on vacation, but do so with social distancing, be as careful as you would. I think we have to get our priorities straight. Children should be our priority. Children's needs should be our priority. No, I'm not saying don't go on vacation, but take social distancing in mind. Don't go to states that are hot spots. And we know that that is happening, and we could do better. We could do better.
Well, and as far as takeout versus the other, I just think you have to be very careful. I don't know if we could agree on that, but I'm not talking about reckless behavior on the part or letting down your guard at people, but I am not in the camp that says that we're the driver of this. So we differ maybe a little bit on that, but I'm very glad to have you today. I do hope you'll come back.
I'd be happy to. Thank you.
Thank you, Doctor, very much.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.